Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Umicore conference call. I am pleased to present Mr. Marc Grynberg, CEO, and Mrs. Martine Vreugde, CFO. For the first part of this call, let me remind you that all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Mr. Grynberg, please begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Umicore's trading update for the first quarter. In broad terms, I'm obviously very pleased to report that the positive trends that we observed through the course of 2010 have, in general, continued in the first part of this year. We have seen demand continue to grow substantially in the vast majority of our businesses, and overall, our revenues were up by 13%. The quarter saw also the generation of strong operating cash flows, combined with only limited increases in working capital requirements so far. This had the net result of further reducing our net debt levels to below the mark of 300 million euro. It is perhaps too soon, though, to say whether this is a sustainable trend through the full year, as we expect some further increases in working capital requirements as a result of the sales growth and higher metal prices. Given the strength of the first quarter and the positive signs that we see in most of our end markets, we are currently expecting full-year recurring EBIT to reach a record level of somewhere between 400 and 425 million euro, so in other words, significantly above the levels of 2010. I will actually come back to the outlook in a few moments. Before looking in detail at the evolution of our four business group, I would like to touch upon Umicore's situation in Japan following the March 11 earthquake and tsunami. Thankfully, none of our employees and their immediate family were hurt in the disaster, although, as you can imagine, the situation has been traumatic to everyone there in Japan. Also, of the three industrial facilities that we own or that we operate in a joint venture, we were fortunate enough that we sustained only light damage in one of these, actually the smaller of the three facilities that is located in Tsukuba, some 60 kilometers north of Tokyo. This facility produces materials for electroplating and precious metals chemistry, for the electroplating and precious metals chemistry businesses, while the automotive catalyst plant in Himeji was unaffected by the earthquake, and so was the construction work at the new battery materials facility in Kobe. I'm also pleased to report that today all operations are back in normal operations. In terms of the broader economic effect and how this translates for Umicore, the impact of the tsunami is expected to be limited, I can say today. While automotive production has been severely disrupted in Japan, Umicore's exposure to Japanese OEMs today is relatively smaller than our global market share, and so this should not result in a material impact. The broader supply chain impact for key automotive components is somewhat more difficult to quantify, although it is clear that the shortages of electronic components, for instance, may have an impact on global car production in the weeks and months ahead. The industry expects, though, to be able to make up for the majority of the production losses in the second half of this year or latest in early 2012. In the case of catalyst-related materials, there has been some indication of shortages of certain substrate materials, but we are successfully working with our customers to set up alternative sourcing arrangements. The battery market obviously is also disrupted, which affects or may affect our sales in the very short term. As a footnote, I also would like to mention that our board of directors met in Japan last week, and this visit was extremely well received both by our employees and our business partners in Japan. In several of our businesses, we have a clear aim to increase our presence with the Japanese customers, and the visit served to reinforce our commitment in this regard. If we turn now to the performance of our various business groups, we can see a positive revenue evolution across the board. In the catalysis segment, our automotive catalyst business recorded revenue growth in most regions that was over and above the levels of the growth in car production. That was about 5% year-on-year, reaching a total car production of just below 19 million passenger cars. Our performance over and above the market is partly the result of technology adoption, such as the diesel particulate filters, and also our particular presence in platforms that are being produced at higher rates than the average. In Europe, production levels are back to close to pre-downturn levels, and the technology mix with the continued introduction of complex catalyst systems and the continued growth in DPFs ensured excellent growth in this market for Umicore. In North America, the picture was even better from a production growth perspective, and Umicore's platform mix was also positive. In South America, we also grew faster than the markets, which actually grew at a rate of 8%, while the picture in Asia was obviously impacted substantially by the developments in Japan. Production in Asia was level year-on-year, and Umicore was able to grow its revenues in the region due to its comparatively lower level of exposure to Japanese OEMs, combined with a very strong presence in China and Korea. By way of an update on the price of raw materials, we have obviously seen continued rises in the prices of rare earth related mixed metal oxides, and also some significant increases in precious metals prices, notably palladium. Recently, several car companies have signaled increases in the retail price of their models as a result of all raw materials price increases, including those for oil-based plastic components. These price increases are actually very modest relative to the price of a car and are also indicative of the prevailing norm in the industry that raw materials price rises are, by and large, passed on to the end consumer. Turning to the precious metals chemistry business, as one of the key end markets for this business is the automotive catalysis segment, it should come as no surprise that the overall growth trend in precious metals chemistry was similarly positive. We were also able to grow our sales to the bulk chemical and the life science industries in particular. Looking now at energy materials, where we recorded a revenue growth of 12% in the first quarter, year-on-year. In cobalt and specialty materials, we registered good revenue growth, and in the rechargeable battery materials business line that is part of cobalt and specialty materials, both the sales volumes and revenues were up year-on-year. Sales volumes of materials for portable electronic applications increased, and although we continue to feel the fierce effect of the fierce levels of competition in the segments served by our standard lithium compounds for this type of applications, this was partly compensated by an increase in the proportion of NMC materials in our sales mix. The construction of the new rechargeable battery materials facility in Japan has been completed, and we are now entering a period of testing prior to opening the plant in September and starting deliveries. The plant will actually open in early October, sorry. The capacity expansion in Korea and in China is also making good progress. In the ceramics and chemicals business line, we recorded strong growth, particularly in the catalyst-related products. In other product areas, we developed sales of cobalt chemicals, both in existing and new markets, while higher sales of nickel sulfate did somewhat offset the lower sales of other nickel chemicals. The only area where we saw no growth in ceramics and chemicals, in cobalt and specialty materials, was in the tool materials business, where the customer orders were delayed by the exceptionally high price of tungsten. And I'd like also to remind you that this is one of the business lines that recovered very strongly from the downturn in the course of 2010 already. In the refining and recycling business of cobalt and specialty materials, we saw much improved levels of availability of raw materials as a result of higher levels of industrial outputs. This had a positive influence on the revenues and performance of this business line. In electro-optic materials, we also recorded revenue growth, largely as a result of higher sales of substrates. Sales of substrates actually reached record levels in the first quarter of this year, driven by continued growth in the space sector and further demand increases for terrestrial photovoltaic applications, an application that is gaining momentum again or gaining new momentum. On the other side, the demand from the LED sector cooled down somewhat after a very strong 2010, possibly due to excessive customer inventory levels being built up in the later part of 2010 by in that industry. In optics, the sale of finished optics, predominantly for use in commercial infrared systems, evolved positively, in contrast to the continued low levels of order for germanium blanks that are used in larger systems. In thin film products, revenues were well up, particularly in the key growth area of large area coating, where our new range of rotary targets is gaining further interest from both from existing and new customers. If we look now at the performance materials business group, we registered an overall revenue growth in that segment of 10%. In our technical materials business, we benefited from the continued growth in the electrical infrastructure industry and the recovery in the automotive sector. In building products, we experienced the benefit of better conditions in the building sector in Europe, driven partly by comparatively better weather conditions at the beginning of this year. You may recall that we had particularly harsh winter conditions in the first quarter of 2010 that had a very negative effect on our sales and the activity of the construction sector in Europe overall. Also, in contrast to previous periods, we saw an improvement in sales for residential new builds and an increase in housing starts development, which augurs well for the remainder of the year. In zinc chemicals, we saw a further improvement in the underlying demand for most products. Sales of products used in anti-corrosive paints continued to sell well, especially to customers in Asia, while the sales of zinc oxide increased, driven by demand in the chemical and tire industries. Sales of zinc materials for alkaline batteries were somewhat lower compared to the very strong levels seen in 2010, and that was mainly the case in Europe and in the US. If we look at the zinc recycling activities, the overall revenue picture was stable compared to last year, with the higher competition for feed offset by better comparables in terms of the longer-term pricing arrangements. Still in performance materials, the electroplating business showed the continued growth and benefited in particular from higher levels of activity in the printed circuit board and semiconductor packaging industries. In platinum engineered materials, orders are reliant on the equipment cycles, and do not follow in lockstep with the levels of glass production by our customers. The sector itself is experiencing excellent growth, and Umicore's sales will reflect this underlying strength in due course. Element 6 Abrasives, in which we have a 40% stake, showed a strong sales growth as a result of higher levels of demand for tools, particularly in the construction and automotive sectors. At the level of net contribution, however, it should be noted that the business felt the negative impact of currency movements even more sharply in the first quarter of this year. Finally, if we turn to recycling, we saw a continuation of the positive trends seen through 2010, and overall revenues were up by 16% in the segment. In the precious metals refining operations, we saw a further strengthening in the supply conditions, and the mix of materials that we were able to secure did improve further. This was particularly the case for residues from the byproducts from the non-ferrous metals refining sector, including PGM miners and refiners, zinc, lead, and copper refineries. Supplies of electronic scrap were also well up, and the net impact of these further improvements in the supply mix was to drive our revenues up pretty sharply. This was also complemented by the impact of higher metal prices, both for the portion of the contracts secured through long-term pricing arrangements, as well as for those materials contracted at spot prices. And this was the case not only for precious metals, but also for specialty metals. Precious metals management activities benefited from a combination of positive forces. Metal price volatility drove an improvement in the trading activities, while the high levels of industrial demand ensured high demand for physical metal delivery services. In jewelry and industrial metals, we recorded higher revenues. In the jewelry business, the improvements were driven by the increased levels of demand from the branded jewelry manufacturers, who are experiencing significantly improved sales this year. This more than offsets subdued demand from customers in the fashion jewelry segment. In the industrial metals business, sales of our silver-based products were also up, as we benefited from the higher levels of industrial demand, in particular for new applications. Finally, the construction of the new battery recycling operation in Hoboken has been completed, and the initial testing phase of the facility is scheduled to start sometime next month. The stocks of materials are gradually increasing as we ready the plant for the full startup later this year. As you can see, and I'm now turning to slide number 6, which contains the outlook statement, as you can see, we have experienced a very positive start to the year. Our outlook reflects this and is also an indication of the visibility and confidence that we have looking forward through to the remaining 9 months of this year. We currently estimate, as I mentioned in the introduction, that full-year recurring EBIT will be somewhere in the range of 400 to 425 million euro. And obviously, this would represent a record level of profit for Umicore, as well as a significant uplift compared to the 343 million euro that we generated in 2010. Although we don't provide specific guidance for the individual segments, it is important to note that the recycling and catalysis businesses should account for the bulk of the year-on-year EBIT improvement. The supply environment for recycling indeed looks set to remain highly supportive, and we also have very good visibility regarding the conditions of our longer-term contracts, which gives us a high level of confidence as we move through the year. In catalysis, the renewed strength of the automotive industry and the expected growth in production will be the key factor in the growth of our business in all region for the full year. In the Energy Materials and Performance Materials businesses, we expect a largely stable performance. This might seem somewhat at odds with the revenue increases and merits some explanation. In the case of Energy Materials, the price pressure in the standard grades of battery materials combined with the startup cost and added depreciation of the new facilities, both technical and production facilities, will likely in first instance offset the bulk of the revenue gains for the business in the short term. Obviously, when you expand at such a fast pace as we are doing, startup cost and depreciation kicking typically before revenue and additional EBITDA are being generated. And this is what we observe in Energy Materials, and this is broadly in line with the comments that we made in that respect in the second part of last year. In Performance Materials, the story is somewhat different. The main reason for stable performance is that the Element 6 Abrasives is expected to continue to feel the adverse effects of exchange rates, and this should largely offset the positive revenue developments, revenue and earnings developments elsewhere in the segment. So overall, still, I would like to you to take away that we expect a record year, an outstanding year in terms of financial performance with revenue growth that is largely in line with the strategic ambitions that we spelled out a few months ago. If we look briefly at the financial calendar, I would like to remind you that we will be holding our AGM later today in Brussels, during which our shareholders will be asked to vote on the dividend, on the proposed dividend of 80 cents per share, and subject to approval by the shareholders, the payment of the dividend is scheduled to commence next week. So at this stage, I'd like to hand the line over to you for any question that you might have, and I would just ask you to limit the number of questions to two so that we can provide equal opportunities to all participants to raise questions. And if you have more than two questions or if you have follow-on questions, I would kindly ask you to queue again so that you can raise your additional questions. And if we proceed in such an orderly manner, this will also give us a better chance to provide you with meaningful answers. Thank you, and the floor is now open to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad, and you will enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. So once again, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question is from Joel Dewars at UBS.
Hi, good afternoon. It's a couple of questions. First of all, on the auto catalyst gains, clearly you're moving ahead of certainly growth in the end markets there. Does it also mean that you're certainly moving ahead quite strongly on market share? And if there's sort of any other details you can maybe give on that. And then just the second question is around the cash flow. Certainly looking at the sort of the net debt figure that you've given there would indicate certainly to us that your cash flow is very strong. Whether you could sort of give any more information on that and whether there was any movements on the inventory side or a lot of that sort of driven by earnings. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with the gains in the AutoCAD business, which were over and above the market rates. Is that indicative of broader market share gains? Actually, I wouldn't extrapolate from quarterly figures or comments because depending on your platform mix and the rates at which the platforms that you are serving are selling, you may have a picture that changes from one quarter to the other or from one semester to the other. So I wouldn't draw too much conclusions in terms of market share gains. I think we're doing extremely well at this point in time, indeed, as was explained. And I think that the conclusion that I would take from the first quarter figures is that our regional distribution and regional presence, regional mix of business positions us extremely well to benefit from the growth in the fastest growing markets, and at the same time to benefit from the recovery in those markets that were hit by the downturn significantly, like the U.S. and to a somewhat lesser extent in Europe. So I'm pretty pleased about the way that things are developing, but would not draw too many conclusions in terms of market share gains. Then in terms of net debt, yes, clearly EBITDA and operating cash flow developments are very, very strong and satisfactory. And this being said, it is a bit too early to extrapolate or to make out where the debt is heading this year, because we see revenue growth and higher metal prices requiring some additional working capital. Now, as you know, this is not a concern as far as we are, as far as we see it, because when revenues revenues grow and metal prices increase, typically we generate more EBIT and EBITDA, and therefore our indebtedness levels remain fairly low.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Rian Tucker at Credit Suisse.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I'm going to ask two questions and make one comment as well if I can. The questions, can you give us further guidance on the startup costs for your battery materials facilities in Asia? You mentioned that those will restrict EBIT growth somewhat this year. Can you give us any specific guidance? Secondly, excluding the recycling business, when I just look at your manufacturing business, can you give us some idea of the relative importance of various end markets, particularly construction, electronics, and automotive? Which of those is more important? And if possible, can you tell us how much of your manufacturing business goes to each of those end markets? The comment I'd like to make as well, if I can, it would be really useful if we could have a consensus recurring EBIT from you guys for the year, because the numbers that are quoted on Bloomberg and IBIS are generally quite muddy in the mix of operating profit and EBIT. Thank you.
And then, yeah, the consensus. Okay, regarding the startup costs, no, I'm not going to be more specific at this stage. Suffice to say that indeed that startup costs and depreciation in the first year tend to offset the revenue growth, because you start, the first thing you do when you commission the plant is to start booking depreciation and startup costs while you have not started delivering. So I think this is normal. But I wouldn't want to go into more specific business line guidance in terms of results or components of that results. It is significant, obviously significant enough and material enough for us to mention it today. In terms of end markets, I can give you a broad distribution, but actually not excluding the recycling business, because I would have to recalculate then the distribution. Actually, we have about one-third of our turnover goes to the automotive sector, and that is not only automotive catalysts. We have a number of businesses that are directly or indirectly serving automotive applications, so that is broadly one-third of our business. And then you have about another third or so that is a combination of construction and electronics.
Thank you. That's very useful.
Not that these two have anything in common, just that the two add up to about one-third, and then you have about 20% of our end markets, which are really purely recycling-related.
Okay, thank you.
Then, I'm not sure I fully understood your remark or request regarding the consensus figure. The figure that we published is related to, or the range that we published is recurring EBIT.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether it was related to what we published, your comment.
No, I was just asking for IR at some point to give us a consensus recurring EBIT, because that's okay. Not something we can get easily from other data sources.
Okay, no, absolutely. We'll do that once, obviously, once you have updated your own research and estimates.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Mr. Martin Evans, GP Morgan.
Yes, thanks. Just on the catalysis or the auto catalysis side, I mean, clearly you're very optimistic about the outlook, whereas I think towards the end of last year there was a little bit of uncertainty as to how strong the global auto market would be this year and whether there was going to be some inventory build and so on. Has anything particularly changed apart from the fact that the industry's just had a good first quarter? Is there any new legislation in the pipeline that's benefiting you, or is it just a generally more optimistic start than possibly we thought at the end of last year? Thanks.
You're right, Martin. We commented on the inventory build-up at the end of last year. And it is also worth noting that the inventory buildup continued to a certain extent in the first part of this year. Now, obviously, with the disaster in Japan and the consequences that this may have on the components, on the spare parts availability and components availability, you may see a somewhat different trend developing in the second quarter of this year, with some of the inventories being reduced because of the lack of certain components. But clearly there was in the course of last year, in the course of the first quarter of this year, a trend whereby production continued to exceed auto sales. So our positive message today is really related to the fact that indeed the market has continued to grow in terms of production in the first quarter of this year, and that clearly we have benefited from a very good positioning in two respects. One, a very strong geographical positioning with leading positions in those markets that have seen the strongest growth figures, and secondly, a very favorable platform mix or platform exposure that has Umicore benefiting from a very strong sales and production levels of a certain number of models that that we deliver the catalyst systems for. And finally, indeed, before I forget it, as far as the European market is concerned, there is one other factor, is the fact that the diesel applications have regained some of the ground that they had lost during the recession and after the recession, when the incentive and the scrapping scheme measures were in place. And that segment is back to close to 50% of the market in Europe. And you know that this is a segment where we have typical strength and a very strong contribution from. So this is another factor that explains the positive picture that we see today and that we see for the rest of the year. And then I would like to come back to the question of Ryan regarding the consensus. The consensus, as it stood before the publication of our quarterly update, was somewhat below, slightly below 400 million euro in terms of recurring EBIT, and I think the exact figure was 396 million.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you can ask a question by pressing the code 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Andrew Stott, Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Oh, good afternoon, Mark. Just question your comments during the Q&A over auto production risk. Just a point of clarification here. So what you're saying is there is a risk from what you see in inventories, mainly in Europe, but actually you're not seeing any change in demand patterns through April. So just to clarify, there's no evidence of a slowdown in OEM production, but obviously it's a risk in your mind. I just wanted to double-check that's the key point. And then secondly, a point of detail that I'm just not fully au fait with. Element 6, you're talking about some impact there from currencies. Can you just remind me there of the issue? Thank you.
Yes, Andrew. First of all, your reading of our comments regarding car production are absolutely right. Indeed, we do not see today a change in the production patterns, except those short-term effects that we could see at some places because of the component shortage that I mentioned. But this is likely to be short-lived and possibly even compensated for in the second part of this year. So that's right. Regarding element 6, abrasives, the currency headwinds are coming from the fact that a significant portion of the revenues is in US dollars, is priced and invoiced in US dollars, while you have significant production costs in South African rand and in euros, two currencies that have substantially appreciated against the US dollars in recent months.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is from Onu Gusent at Exane BNP Paribas.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much. I have actually just one question regarding the HDD evolution. I was wondering if you can give us an update on that and if there's anything new there.
There is actually nothing really new to report. We continue to make progress, as we stated in the latest conference call and investor meetings and analyst meetings. We continue to make progress, and we continue to qualify for a number of applications in a number of regions, but we felt like it was not necessary to repeat exactly the same statements as last time. So I think nothing really new to report there.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Robert Philibert at from UniCredit.
Hi, thanks for taking the time for some quick for two quick questions. The first is, you said in your trading update that the overall car production in Japan had a negative impact of 32%. Can you clarify a bit on what that means for you? And the second question was there any impact on your electroplating business from disruption in production in Japan also of the semiconductor operations?
Indeed, you're right. The car production was down by more than 30% in the first quarter, and that is largely a result of the earthquake and the fact that I would say a lot of assembly lines were shut down after March 11 in Japan. That has a very slight impact on us, given our relatively limited exposure to Japanese OEMs, relatively meaning that it's relatively smaller than our average market share in other regions or globally. So it is a fairly limited impact, and as a matter of fact, we would actually expect that it will mostly be made up for by the end of this year or by early 2012. Regarding electroplating and other activities in Japan, especially those, as you rightly so pointed out, electroplating is serving the semiconductor industry. There is indeed a near-term effect, but again, nothing really that would materially change the face of the business. And in any case, this was fully factored in our earnings forecast for the full year.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Adam Collins from Liberum Capital.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the cash inflow that you saw in the first quarter, to what extent was that down to the favorable working capital structure of the recycling business, the fact that you tend to pay suppliers after you crystallize the materials, or was there an underlying improvement in some of the other businesses, such as the AutoCAD business? And the second question was on business opportunities in relation to Japan. You're one of those companies where, in certain categories, you come up against Japanese suppliers. For example, Nishio in cathode materials or Mitsui Metals on the recycling side. Are there any near-term opportunities because of the impact on your competitors in this area?
Looking at the working capital developments first, some of the improvement is indeed related to the fact that there was a significant further growth in the recycling segment, which is one that consumes relatively less working capital to feed the growth than other business groups. So indeed, the mix being what it is, we benefited from that additional growth factor from the recycling activities. This being said, as I mentioned earlier, the sales growth that we see today and that we see for the full year, and the current trends in metal prices, we're likely going to see increased working capital requirements ahead of us. In terms of, also to answer your question very clearly about underlying improvements, there was no real material underlying improvement or change in business model or business structure in any of our business so far. What we really saw is the effect of the strong operating cash flows prevailing to a large extent.
Yeah.
In terms of opportunities in Japan, I think it's probably premature to comment on that. We know that in certain areas, some of our competitors have been affected by the quake, or some of their facilities have been affected. And this being said, I would not translate that into immediate new opportunities or midterm new opportunities, because at the same time we know that some of our customers have also been affected by the quake or the tsunami. So it is at this stage difficult to make out how the competitive landscape will develop, considering the developments or the damages at both the customers and the competitors. Obviously, we have ambitions to grow significantly our business presence in Japan, and we had that ambition prior to the disaster, so it's not an opportunistically stated ambition. It's been part of our strategy for a number of years, and actually what I would like to point out is that unlike some other companies, the disaster has not altered at all or investment plans nor our commitment to develop the business in Japan. Whether there will be new opportunities or increased opportunities for us remains to be seen.
Thanks, Mark.
We have another question from Rian Tucker, Credit Suisse.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my follow-on question. When you talked about catalysis in your run-through at the beginning, you pointed to higher prices and higher raw material costs. Does that mean that the operating profit for, I know you're not going to give specific guidance, but just in theory, the operating profit for the catalysis division has probably not grown as much as by the sales, or can you not discuss that now?
No, actually, the profits are growing because clearly, I mean, one of the elements that is affecting the catalysis industry is the price of rare earth oxides, Clearly, we are in contact with our customers regarding the dramatic increase that we have seen in that area. And our customers, I can say, have acknowledged that they've acknowledged this increase in the material price, and we are now developing with them means to manage this impact in a manner that is mutually acceptable and in a manner that will allow us to recover the full impact of the price increase.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you still can ask a question by pressing the code 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Martin Evans, JP Morgan.
Yes, thanks. Just a small question on a small division, the building products area, where you do point out that demand from European construction has improved, especially in France, although you were compared, obviously, against a difficult quarter in 2010. Do you sense now then that the building construction market in Europe is at a bottom and it's genuinely beginning to move forward after a difficult few years?
This is indeed our reading today, and you may recall from previous discussions that we saw some signs of improvements or some reasons to be positive and to be optimistic about the market, and that we discussed about those in the second part of last year. And one of the elements that is giving cause for greater confidence or greater optimism is the fact that the permit applications are increasing, the number of new projects being looked at by architects or being looked at with architects is increasing, and the number of housing starts is increasing in Europe. It is not a dramatic turnaround, I would say, but it is an improvement that indeed gives the cause for more optimism and indicates, as you pointed out, that the market may have bottomed out and is now starting to improve again.
Good. Thanks very much.
There are currently no more questions in queue. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you still can ask a question by pressing the code 01 on your telephone keypad. There are no more questions in queue.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, then let me, as a closing remark, thank you once again for attending this conference call, and also let me remind you, as usual, that our investor relations team continues to be available for your follow-on questions, and we'll be pleased to address them in the next hours, days, and weeks. Thank you very much again, and I look forward to talking to you and seeing you again in the not-too-distant future. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mr. Greenberg. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending.